Welcome to Fast Break Breakfast. You're here with me, Keith Parrish. I'm sitting here, as always, with John Burr.
Good morning.
And Chuck Anderson.
Hey, now.
Fellas, how are we doing? Everybody having a good morning here?
Yeah, man.
Why don't you tell me, bring me up to speed, what'd you guys have for breakfast?
I slept till nearly noon, so I felt guilty about even attempting to have breakfast.
So, wait, I believe last week you also didn't have a breakfast. I think we tell our listeners it's the most important thing.
Well,
I think you're letting something slide.
Do as he say.
I am filled not with self-loathing.
Yeah. That delicious self-loathing.
That's what I'm having for breakfast.
That's what I greet most mornings with.
Self-loathing and misery.
Nice. Chuck, did you eat?
Yeah. I still have that Hardee's gift card.
Are you trying the whole menu? Do they have other options?
They have a double loaded omelet biscuit.
I saw a picture of that. It looks like what is in a urinal at Soldier Field.
Oh. I like this is exciting that I think both John and I actually Googled Hardee's menu items because we didn't believe you last week.
Yes. It's there.
I saw it.
It's there.
It looks like just, you know, it looks like a Party City fake vomit.
That's... Yeah, it looks like fake food. It's sopping in grease, and it's a terrible, terrible thing to digest.
But so, yeah,
it's amazing.
That is amazing. Star Trek food.
That is Hardee's, one of our sponsors.
Hardee's.
I had chocolate chip pancakes because...
Mommy wanted?
Because my mother-in-law is staying with us. And honestly, it's great. She's cooking. She's taking care of the baby. So yeah, she made some chocolate chip pancakes.
So your mother-in-law is not like impossible to deal with and hard.
Honestly, it's amazing. So if you're listening to last week, my wife was kind of in labor. I wasn't sure if I should be recording it. We cut things short.
Gave birth to Chase Buddy Budinger Parrish.
Yeah, so it wasn't a false alarm. I wrapped up the podcast, went on home. A few hours later, we went to the hospital, got admitted. The little baby came, little Chase Budinger.
Me,
came
daddy.
Last week's episode was uploaded from the delivery room. Shout out to Vanderbilt Hospital for having some pretty good Wi-Fi.
That's a solid look.
That's
your tax dollars at work.
Yeah, but
Kevin Stallings,
the mother-in-law,
must not be in charge
is
of clock management there.
College basketball jokes. But the mother-in-law is staying with us, and honestly, it's amazing because she's just holding that baby.
She will go away, baby, and then you will have a baby.
She's gonna leave, and I don't. I'm fine with her staying because it's pretty good.
Where is she from?
She lives in Knoxville.
That's not too bad.
No, so she drove over, and the mother-in-law and father-in-law were both here, and it was good. But then, you know, father-in-law went back to his life.
Gam Gam and Pop Pop think nothing of driving 4 hours to babysit.
Oh, that's
it's so true.
Eyes
so,
closed, they'll do it.
So it's been it's been a good week. We have a little baby. That baby was born on the day the Grizzlies came back from 26 down and won it on a alley-oop at the buzzer.
And it's a day we'll never forget.
It's a day we'll never forget.
That alley-oop buzzer.
Because of the alley-oop. I wrote it in
and his, a baby.
I wrote it in his baby book. All right, anyway. So we're going to start now with how we start every week with our breakfast in bed apologies. This is where maybe we insulted someone or a team and we feel like we have to make it up to them and tell them what we're sorry for. So, John Burr.
Dearest Dwyane Wade, love of my life.
He deserves it.
Light of my eyes.
Your respect.
My love, I besmirched you last week. And I've probably been besmirching you for far too long, thinking that Chris Bosh could carry the full load. But when you have not played, neither has Chris Bosh. You may have been a DNP injury, but Chris Bosh was a P who missed dunks and went like 1 for 11. So
Is that play?
Hey, it was 2 for 17.
I don't want to tip our hand for the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award, but
I will never forget
it. It was 2 of 17.
But it was 1 for 11 at one time with a missed dunk, and I spiked a controller and changed the channel.
It was ugly. So
that's because he changed his fantasy team name to Big Bosh Man and had me Photoshop a picture of the Big Boss Man with Chris Bosh's face on it.
That is pretty good. So your apology.
If you ever take a trip down to Cobb County, Georgia. That's an actual wrestling theme song that I have memorized.
So that's big of you. Apologizing to Dwyane Wade.
I'm sorry, Dwyane.
Why?
I think it's because he actually is very crucial to the Heat's success.
Extremely.
Okay, I wasn't sure. You needed to spell it out because it seemed like you didn't really mean it.
Well, Bosh, when he has Wade, making the first pass or second pass or setting up the pass to him is knocking down everything. But when he is having to like face up a guy and create a shot, it's not working.
Well, he's a weird rhythm dude.
For sure.
And he gets into these spells, and he had him for years with even LeBron here and or in Miami. And yeah, it's a that's just the player he is. He isn't that super consistent.
Well, I kind of there are certain people whose games age well, and Dwayne Wade has turned into a player who his old man game works.
The fault. Oh,
he's always had that old
man. It is I know, but he used to also be a little more explosive, and now he doesn't even need it. He just kind of herky-jerky moves it. He's like James Harden.
And
now.
He gives a pump fake that every single team should have highlighted, bold, italicized.
That,
in
we
there.
Call that the Paul Pierce pump fake.
It is. He is getting people off their feet 25 feet away from the rim. With no business even taking that shot wide open, and people are falling for it.
Underrated aspect to his game, he is wall-eyed. He has two lazy eyes, so you can't even tell where he's looking. I noticed that in the last game he played.
Well, he hasn't
he's
really played
both
much,
places.
But what has really made me kind of open my eyes about Wade is that he has added that facilitator role back into his arsenal. And he kind of was that when he first got to Miami. But he's now kind of reverting back into a 6'4 point guard instead of a 6'3 shooting guard.
So he changes height when he changes position.
And we're,
very
it's
interesting.
Crazy. The only problem is we're still talking about him when he played, and now he's taken a couple DMPs.
Three in a row now.
And that's not very good.
They can't afford to give him
but
25 games off like last year.
It's hamstring.
It's going to be ugly.
I think they'll be able to work it out. And you saw with San Antonio, it's not a bad thing for these role players to get minutes. You have to have 10-man team now.
That's different because San Antonio at full strength is like a 65-win team, and they're happy to give the role players, their time.
But they did that last
season. The Heat at full strength this year are maybe a 45-win team. You can't give players that time off. In my opinion, Chuck, you look angry, but do you have a...
But Dwayne Wade, I'll close. Dwayne Wade's in the top 20 in points per game, top 10 in assists per game, top 10 in player efficiency rating.
Yeah.
I was wrong. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll just say one more thing.
No.
The Cavs.
There. All right,
like a good time to maybe...
Do we want to interrupt our apologies?
I think we might do.
I think that was kind of bitter. So we're going to bring back... It seems like Chuck is chomping at the bit to bring back a thing we skipped over last week due to the birth of my newborn. This is a segment we like to call... A scorned Heat fan texts a friend. These are actual texts from the summer of 2014 that Chuck sent to John.
I'm a good friend.
We should have never signed Granger and McBob. This is the worst day since Dan Marino retired.
Sorry, buddy.
And there you have it. Those are a scorned Heat fan. Texts a friend. Actual texts that Chuck's reading off his phone.
It's actually great because I didn't have to do an apology. So I'm never wrong.
All right.
Chuck, let's do your apology.
Do you have an apology this week? I do have
my breakfast in bed apology brought to you by a breakfast in bed.
Hardee's.
Tyson Chandler, I wholeheartedly apologize for not even really demolishing you, but saying that you've lost a step because
I think washed up might have been thrown around.
Yeah, your per 36 minute totals this year are ridiculous. You're shooting nearly 70%.
It's true.
That's a very good basketball player, and you're doing good things. And I'm sorry for talking that jib jab.
That's true. I think it's very again.
We're talking about jib jam.
I like you apologizing. I'm going to do a broad apology going back to our preseason podcast where I talked about how I think I said the Magic were the 76ers and they didn't know it. I said that they had no hope of an all-star, maybe outside of Vucevic. And I'll be real.
Tobias. Noob Saibot.
I mean, even Tobias has been very consistent and good. Vucevic is absolutely, he's a stone cold lock.
That is
Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers proclaimed him an all-star this week.
He did.
Similarly to when Doc Rivers proclaimed DeAndre Jordan the best defensive player since Bill Russell.
It's true. Doc likes to build a guy up. But again, the Magic are, they're not horrible. They're respectable. They're playing good basketball. They're playing as a team. And again, Vucevic is a really good player. So that.
Don't forget about Noob Saibot from the University of Tennessee. Tobias Harris. Excellent player.
How about we just go also to Evan Fournier, who's making that Fournier for Aflalo trade look pretty good.
Especially since they're not even playing Aflalo now.
Yeah, right. Aflalo's not very happy in Denver. No one's happy in Denver. And also, Fournier's making less money, and he's playing really well.
And Oladipo's back playing the point since nobody even looked at Elfrid Payton when he was doing his pick and rolls.
Although Elfrid Payton, he's a good... As advertised, you heard coming into the season he was going to be a good defender, and he is a good defender. Like, he's very aggressive diving for loose balls, getting steals.
He's got steals.
I think he's got, he's in the top two or three guys. Talk about Rookie of the Year. Easy, I think.
No.
Well, it's actually kind of deep. The rookies are kind of disappointing, but you know.
It's like a five-headed beast of mediocrity.
It is.
That's what
it
I'm
is
saying.
A lot.
Like, it's not, he's not, you know, exceeding or excelling.
He's not even going to play now that Oladipo's back very often.
It's true. It'll be interesting how they work him in. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and apologize to the Orlando Magic. And that's my, those were our, I guess, breakfast in bed apologies.
Happy polylogies.
All right. And now for our steak and eggs best thing. It's the best thing you saw this week. Chuck, what do you got?
My best thing of the week is Quinn Snyder's murder face.
Good Lord.
He has. With his bare hands, murdered a person. And this is an undoubtable truth due to the fact that his face contorts like someone has stabbed him repeatedly.
When he's got that fourth quarter sweat on his brow and that hair hanging.
What is that haircut?
I love it.
What is that haircut?
It's kind of a Boardwalk Empire-ish.
It is, right? It's like
the old...
He makes faces like Claire Danes on Homeland.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. That's absolutely
the unwatchable faces.
Right. No, it's like he's in a, I don't know, like a death metal band or something.
It might be that he has a suicide vest strapped on him.
That's could be. He could be like early Brody.
Early candidate for coach face of the year face.
Coach face of the year face. That is.
That is the best thing. John, you got a best thing of the week?
I sure do. And it was the unimaginably almost impossible Courtney Lee game winner.
Oh, shout out to Courtney Lee. C. Lee. 3/10. You can protest that, but you can't take it away.
That's right. And I have a confession to make. Because I saw there was 0.3 seconds left.
Turned it off.
Turned my back. Well, I was in a sports bar, as I'm wont to be. And I turned around and started watching the Nashville Predators because I support the local teams. And then this, you know, crazy drunken Vandy fan who I had to fight to turn on the Grizzlies game said, "Well, you didn't even watch when your team won." And I turned around and saw the replay and I didn't even think that was possible. And apparently the Kings don't either.
It's true.
But good luck having that overturned. And also, why would you even contest it when you blew a lead of that magnitude?
It's sad. But I will always remember, I'm holding my newborn. My wife's passed out asleep, and we're just watching an illegal stream, because obviously you can't watch your local team legally online. Makes a lot of sense. But watch an amazing HD illegal stream, and it was exciting. I'm holding my little newborn, 1 day old.
How did you not change Buddy's name to Courtney Lee immediately?
Oh. Well, we'd made a deep commitment to Chase Budinger Parrish.
Klee.
So, Klee Carter Conley Parrish was briefly in the conversation based on that game. All right. Well, my best thing of the week is again, I'm kind of pumping back up Eastern Conference teams I was down on preseason. My best thing of the week is Jason Kidd, the coach, and the Milwaukee Bucks, who just pulled off a road trip of beating the Heat, beating the Knicks, beating the Nets. That's a little 3-0 jaunt in the last week. And that's from a team that no one really expected much of anything. They're top five in defensive rating. They're playing really hard. Again, they have some awkward offensive pieces, but I mean, you're getting Jared.
But Giannis Antetokounmpo, for all the offensive awkwardness, is amazing on defense this year. It's coming around, and Larry Sanders seems to be back as well.
What were they thinking about this Greek freak point guard thing? I mean, I understand it.
It was novel, but
he has like four games where he has less than three assists.
Jason Kidd was a tall point guard. He probably sees something.
But they're honestly playing him as a guard. Like, yes. if you had to assign the positions on the court, you know, you have like Ilyasova out there, and they actually been playing some Henson.
Finally.
It is good, you know, but like, they're fun to watch, right. And honestly, and that was unexpected. They're getting Jared Bayless to move his feet on defense.
That's unbelievable.
OJ Mayo is skinny and playing well.
Maybe he gets coach face of the year face for that. Getting Jared Bayless to move his feet is unreal.
Yeah.
Is that a Haralabob tweet, I think?
What was it?
I think
what
he might have been tweeting about getting Jared Bayless to move his feet.
He could have. I don't know. If I Twitter plagiarize, I apologize.
It happens, man. Haralabob is part of us now.
That's true. So those are our steak and eggs best thing. All right, so now for what was the worst thing? The cream of wheat. Worst of the week.
I'll stay on the Bucks.
Okay.
The Brandon Knight steel bunny miss at the end of the first overtime.
It was so sad.
It was so sad until you watch the bench reaction, which is so amazing.
It's good. And it wasn't even a breakaway. So what we're talking about, if you've probably seen, is in a tie basketball game in overtime, Brandon Knight steals a pass, has a breakaway layup for the win, and he just misses it. And it's not even one of those layups where you're sprinting so fast trying to get away, like, you know, like a LeBron's behind you. Like, he honestly had time, and he took his final step and slowed up just to lay it in and missed it.
Dunk that, young man.
Dunk that.
Throw it down, big man.
So, but he did. He got some measure of redemption in hitting the tying three, and they won the game.
Yeah.
So he can sleep easy at night.
Boy, you can tell that if they had lost, that Bucks bench wasn't having it.
Oh, it was crazy.
Good win, though.
Chuck, you got a worst?
Yeah, my worst of the week is Born Ready Lance Stephenson in a game against the Golden State Warriors.
Grizzled team.
Got the biggest flop call I've ever seen, where he slapped himself in the face and then flopped after the self face flop.
Okay, but here, I'm going to...
It was a moving screen, Harrison Barnes was moving.
I'm going to exhibit something for you. You hear that?
Yeah.
He was making the sound.
Oh, he made the sound.
You got to make that sound.
You got to sell it.
It's
one of those... back from my experience as a high school basketball ref, man... Oh. If that smack sound happens and you don't call a foul, you got trouble in that gym.
Did you wear shorts at this high school when you were reffing?
No. We had you had to wear Sansa Belt black slacks.
Sansa Belt.
Yeah.
Keith can't wear shorts. Look at how long his limbs are.
That's true.
He'd be pushing.
I did have short hair and a clean shaven face because apparently they make you look like
you'd be hanging
a respectable. They get like a respectable businessman.
You lanky fellows are banned from wearing shorts.
All right, my worst of the week is this is kind of broad. I'm really getting down on the maybe it's because I had high hopes, but I'm down on the instant replay system.
Yeah, boo.
I had high hopes coming into this year, talking about the centralized office, that they'd have all the video queued up for the refs by the time they went over to the sidelines.
You must not be a hockey fan.
I definitely...
Because it doesn't work at all.
Yeah. So I don't understand why, one, in the last 2 minutes of a game, this every out of bounds is reviewed is horrible.
Yeah.
And then you see the replay, and normally on your first view, normally it's one of two things. It's either, it's off him,
right?
Which is like 80% of the time. So in these scenarios, it's off the Bucks. So let's give it to the Knicks. So in these scenarios, I don't understand why the Secaucus, New Jersey isn't saying, Knicks basketball. And right. I don't know why the guy doesn't walk over and be like, yep, Knicks ball. Let's go.
I have a solution.
What is it?
Instead of having like a couple of like weird white guys and like... Where is it? Secaucus, New Jersey? Is that a real place?
That's what I've only heard of it.
In
never
hockey,
been there.
It's in Toronto, and it's like six fat Canadian dudes. Probably Francophile Canadians.
I didn't know there were fat Canadians.
Oh, Lord have mercy. But have you had poutine? There's lots of fat Canadians.
Oh, poutine callback.
Yeah. That's right. That's
from the
pilot. Instead of having that, the caucus and Secaucus, if you will, just put Charles Oakley up there. Mm-hmm. And Charles Oakley, I'm pretty sure, makes snap decisions at all times.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure I saw him fight everyone after about one nanosecond of thought.
Yeah.
And just let him take one look and go, oh, hell yeah, that LeBron touched that last.
Yeah. I mean, I think the most, and so then in a scenario, one of the problems with replay also, it's like you have the scenario like the Courtney Lee, the 0.3 scenario. One of the negative aspects of replay, and my buddy, I got a buddy Ross who hates it in football, that you can't celebrate touchdowns anymore.
Nope.
Because like you watch it. So I watch Courtney Lee convert this alley-oop. My first thought is, can you do that in 0.3? I don't think so. So then there's a 6-minute replay
right. Where
everyone's like, I feel really happy because we looked like we were going to lose, but now I guess maybe we might win.
Right.
And then it's over. You're like, yeah, we won.
Dude, instant replay blue is a real phenomenon.
Yeah. You don't get that like real closure moment.
You don't get
the end of the game. You've been banging away.
Yeah.
And then there's nothing.
It just dribbles out.
Yeah, you're like, are we done? Yeah. I don't even know.
There's no explosion.
I will say another thing with the instant replay. And I'm fine. I think we need to keep it. I just don't know why we can't. The guys can't look at the end of games. They can't look at it and make a decision much quicker. In the non-last seconds of the game, if I see another clear path foul reviewed, I could care less. Like make a clear path call or not. Like, I'm fine with reviewing a clear path foul maybe in the last 2 minutes of the game. But like in the first half, I'm fine with being like, oh, they missed that call. Who cares?
Abolish the rule and let Tony Allen kick people in the face.
Well, that's another thing.
That's what he's going
to
do.
That's another thing entirely. So,
I'm against instant replay altogether because they're trying to eliminate the human element and they failed.
I think
that means we should give up, guys.
No, yeah.
That's how we got to the moon.
I think we can keep tweaking it. I just don't. The current system of these guys looking at it and the fact that it's still, they claim it's shorter, but they're now reviewing more things. Just, I don't even, man.
Well, that's why they wanted to go to those 40-minute games.
Just to get more
replay time.
Oh my gosh.
Man, Kobe's gonna have a really hard time chasing those records if they go to 40-minute games.
No, he just won't. He won't sub out. He'll still play 40 minutes. He's gonna get 30 shots.
Byron's gonna be like, Kobe, come on out, man. And Kobe's just gonna stare at him and stick out his lower jaw, the Mamba face, the least intimidating face.
It's sad that Kobe has become almost a parody.
He just looks like a Muppet at this point.
Really nice Kobe Bryant assist the other night, though, for the game winner.
Oh, the game icer, I think it was.
Icer, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice Kobe Bryant.
You draw that double team and throw up a contested 20-footer.
Corner.
You have a better chance of rebounding.
Corner 22-footer. Falling out of bounds.
I think what's
the only thing that worked is there were like three guys on him.
It works.
Because everyone knew he was taking that shot.
All right. So those are our worst of the week. Our cream of wheat worst of the week. Because who wants that for breakfast?
Mm-mm.
All right. Now our sponsored by Waffle House. Our next segment is the Waffle House Scattered, Smothered, Covered Thoughts. About any things that you've seen over the last week. I'll start off with, I have a question. Is Andre Drummond terrible now?
Well, as much as I love Stan Van Gundy, he has done something to that young man's confidence because he no longer is a factor in games.
Well, I have a theory, which again is probably why I posed the question. My theory is, you know how everyone gets that Team USA bump?
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, Rudy Gay played on Team USA, came back real good. Kenneth Faried looked, you know, and then in other years, it's been like, oh, Kevin Durant really found his legs. He was the go-to guy and all this. I think Andre Drummond being on Team USA and being just miserably ineffective and Coach K being like, I'm not sure what you do here. Like, you jump real high, but you're so bad at shooting.
You shoot what from the free throw line?
You can't shoot free throws. And he was just an afterthought in those Team USA games. I think it shook his confidence. Now he's shooting, I think he's shooting 41% on the season. And this is just on inside post-ups. Andre Drummond is in trouble.
I mean, he doesn't fit into their plan at all because he's not the type of force offensively, even at his best, that Dwight was. And
right.
Dwight wasn't that great of an offensive player ever.
Right.
But when you have that many bigs, it's kind of hard to do what Stan Van wants to do. And I would hate to see what's going down in those practices.
The psychological part too of what he went through with the team in the summer.
Well, that's my theory.
Getting the, you know, he was because he signed the extension. Did he sign an extension?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. Or no one offered him, and there was no offer sheet out.
No, that's Monroe. You're thinking about Greg Monroe. Greg Monroe's playing well.
Right.
Like
he's a Stan Van player though.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think people thought coming into the year that was Stan Van there. And Andre Drummond looking good and so athletic, you assume this would be a guy who'd be grabbing like almost, you know, maybe 16 rebounds a game or something.
Oh, I know what's going on.
Just from jump shots and
him.
Kicking around.
I know exactly what's going on.
Josh Mitham?
No.
Yeah.
He stopped dating that girl from iCarly.
What are you doing?
That's a reference I have no...
You guys don't know about that?
I don't even know anything about
that. Is that the sequel to That's So Raven?
Basically, yeah, but just with the little girl from School of Rock.
White girl instead of whatever Simone is.
So there's one of the lead characters on the hit, I guess, Nickelodeon, Disney Channel. I don't even know. iCarly.
The dad zone again.
Yeah. She's, I guess, 20 years old now, and he like hit her up on Instagram and Twitter and like basically ran you know, to her saying, I want to date. And they dated and there was a big, ugly internet breakup. And how do you guys not know this?
I can't even begin to tell you how I don't
know. You tell me all these stats and you don't know
I pretty much only know what happens on the court. I don't know anything off the court. I always get surprised.
You're our Twitter vizier.
Yeah, yeah.
You're the guy who sits on Reddit all day.
This is all on Reddit.
On DeviantArt.
Easy.
Any, yeah.
You're Goatsy. We're outing you now as Goatsy.
Stop it.
John, you have any, what did you see last week? Anything stuck out to you in the last week?
I mean, I'm still kind of trying to figure out what the Rockets are.
I think this is good because this falls into the category of
every single episode he is changing his mind about the freaking Rockets.
So if you don't know, this is good. And
started Tarek Black last night.
Yeah, yeah.
And Joey Dorsey had significant run. Well, what is happening?
Well, preseason John said the Rockets would be bad, you know, relatively bad. And then after week one, when they started off pretty well, he was like, they're still pretty bad. So then last week the apology, and it was a wholehearted apology
because
the Rockets looked. Rockets look great. Since this apology, the Rockets beat the woefully shorthanded Thunder 69-65.
One of the worst games of the year.
They beat
of all time.
They beat the Sixers by one and a nail biter.
Yeah.
They got obliterated by the Grizzlies and then they lost to the Lakers. That is a horrible four game run.
Yeah. Terrible. And they don't.
Do you see why I'm confused?
I would be too. I don't. One thing that is certain is that Dwight Howard is.
He ain't beating nobody but his kids right now.
He is Dwight Howard. Yeah. And that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out because we just see Adrian Peterson beat his kid.
We saw Jeff Taylor also get suspended 24 games for domestic violence. What's beating your kid with the belt buckle?
Yeah. See, so
They'd have to suspend my dad for like 600 games.
My dad would have never earned a living if hitting your kids meant he couldn't make money.
They would have given my dad the Meta World Peace.
Starved to death.
Speaking of Meta World Peace, you know what yesterday was, right?
The 10-year anniversary. Malice at the Palace.
The Malice in the Palace is why Dwight Howard had a mysterious injury DNP. Because nowadays, after Malice in the Palace, there's stuff that like. Think of what the Kurt Rambis clothesline from like 1987 would get you in today's NBA.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
600 game suspension.
Right, right.
You know.
Well, I did hear, this cracked me up. So like on NBA TV this morning, they were talking about like the 10-year anniversary of the Malice in the Palace.
Still one of the greatest YouTube clips I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, so that's your reaction, and that's everyone else's reaction too. They were like,
somber.
One of the worst days in NBA history. The league would never be the same.
Dude, that's like...
And you're like, no one was hurt. No one was charged with a crime. Yeah. It was mainly just amazing.
That's the NBA's Zapruder film for me, man. Yeah. I can watch that on a loop. Jermaine O'Neal punching Turtle in the face.
Oh,
unstoppable.
So good.
Steven Jackson lost $3 million.
Sure.
On that
suspension. I mean, the Indiana Pacers lost a year. They were one of the best teams.
Jack came out of the tunnel with a dustbin on a stick.
NBA team.
Jamal Tinsley.
Jamal Tinsley did.
And he came out with a dustbin on a stick. And that was the best part of the whole thing.
No way, dude. Turtle from Entourage getting just pasted by Jermaine O'Neal.
I watched that after my 21st birthday party at a strip club in Shreveport, Louisiana, called the Larry Flint Hustler Club. And it was on a big screen. And they just kept replaying it and replaying it and replaying it. And no one looked at the strip.
Was Russ Cole or Marty Hart there?
It's possible. Russ Cole was talking about how everything was
basketball is a flat circle.
It was cracking me up hearing NBA TV talk so somberly about the Malice and Palace, like it was the last Boy Scout.
Why can't we laugh
with
at that
where they
now?
Shot the guy? I don't know.
Life's a bitch.
Like it's hilarious. Right. Like I don't know why.
When Tyson bit Evander Holyfield's ear, it was terrible.
Or like,
but now he has a cartoon.
Kermit Washington almost killing Rudy Tomjanovich. That's terrible.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, yeah. This wasn't the Kermit Washington thing. Like this is a funny moment.
Can we just like for a second talk about how much those people in the stands deserved that? Because in all life in all walks of life, no matter where you are.
100%.
If you throw a thing at a person, you have to be prepared to defend yourself. And that's what we glaze over with all of this, is that these guys were right in going into the stands messing those dudes
up. Compared to the Boston Bruins in like the late 70s, early 80s.
And the Rangers.
This is Mike Milbury, who ended up being a GM of a team and is now a pundit on television. I don't think we'll be seeing either of that from on our test. Climbed over the glass wearing razor blades on his feet, took off the shoe of the man who called him a name, and beat him with a shoe.
Yeah.
But because it's a bunch of black dudes.
Easy. Wait, are you saying
that? Wait, you're saying there's a racial element
to
this?
No way. Well, look, it did change the Indiana Pacer culture. They had to draft Mike Dunleavy Jr.
Thank God their owner went blind.
Racist owner.
Those blind. Racist owner.
That took us right back to last week's conspiracy theory involving.
That's where Chuck invoked that the Pacers owner is blind and drafts who he thinks are white people, but are in fact African Americans.
It's a conspiracy theory.
It cannot be proven wrong.
Do we want to go there? Is there anything else we want to talk about?
Let's hijack it. Move it.
Let's go. Hijack it. All right. So this is one of our segments that Chuck brings us. Chuck is a faithful NBA follower, but he's got a mind for the conspiracy. So this is Chuck's turkey bacon conspiracy of the week.
So I was watching. We talked a little bit earlier about Houston almost losing to the
Planet Houston.
To the Philadelphia 70 Tankers. And I don't know if you guys saw this at the end of the game. The reason why they lost this game is because up three with 35 seconds to play.
Coach got a little kicky.
Coach wanted to play some football and decides to kick the basketball up three.
Goal!
Which immediately got him a technical foul. And then they ended up losing the game on a last second James Harden layup. And
he got a little hinky.
Yeah.
That coach got hinky.
The game, the Sixers lost 88-87. And it just had me thinking that maybe, just maybe,
yes,
the 76ers are tanking.
You mean they're actively trying to not win?
It seems that when the coach felt that they may win the game, he decided to make them lose.
Are you implying that he perhaps has an edict from management
to not win one game? They want to go 0-82.
Well, they won a game, unfortunately, so.
What?
But that was
in what way?
Didn't they just win?
No, they won a game.
0-11?
They're 0-11.
I was like, what have you been? Yeah. Have you been playing a new video game?
You're thinking
that. You got that new 2K.
I did get
2K,
and my team is the 76ers. We're like 6-5.
So
man.
So this is shocking, and we're gonna have to think over this.
I'm just saying. I think give it a think.
So that is intriguing.
That was Chuck's think piece.
So Chuck's conspiracy of the week. Is the 76ers might not be trying to win games.
Brett Brown, you're a disgrace.
I don't want to blow holes in your turkey bacon.
Don't.
Conspiracy of the week. But
Scully over
but
here.
The Rockets missed the free throw on the technical. So
they
it actually had
Harden
no bearing.
Did.
Ball don't lie.
But anyway.
Quote the sheet.
Thank you again, Chuck, for the turkey bacon conspiracy of the week. Now for our this is my baby.
Uh-huh.
This is the buddy?
This is the weekly award.
Oh.
The International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award.
Here it comes.
Jerry's going to find you.
To the worst performance of the week.
And we all know who's going to get
it. Statistically, actually, we've got a few nominees.
Boshua.
We've got a few nominees.
Big Bosh Man.
It was touched upon earlier. Honorable mention goes to Brandon Knight. For in that missed layup game, he actually was also 5 of 20 from the field, which is bad. But they won the game. He hit the big clutch three, so he's not a true nominee. All right,
he had 8 assists in that game, although it was a triple overtime game. Key Rice. He's a candidate.
He's honorable mention because we have some other.
There's
worthy.
Only one winner, and we know who that winner
all right,
is.
No. We have three nominees. Number one, with his second nominee of the season, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
That's KCP.
1 for 11. 2 points.
Kentavious.
And he also contributed 1 assist. That's pretty bad.
Yikes.
From your starting 2 guard. Our second nominee is one, Chris Bosh. 2 for 17.
Not going to win.
2 for 17.
He had diarrhea.
10 points.
He had diarrhea.
He had. Oh, he got the Grizzlies flu?
Crazy gut runs.
Okay. And our third nominee, Kobe Bean Bryant.
Yeah, there's no other person.
Who pulled off a staggering.
Staggering.
1 for 14.
Yeezy!
9 points against the Spurs in a loss.
Bosh's is worse.
No, it's not.
It's worse.
No, it's not.
I'm going to tell you, Bosh gave us 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 5 blocks.
Easy. Well-rounded
Kobe
game.
Kobe Bryant, as a ball hog, went 1 for 14 in 36 minutes.
I guess he does get points for going the 5-5-5-5.
It has.
He had. 5 blocks is a big game.
Yeah.
He had a great game.
It has to be Kobe Bryant.
There is no other choice.
1 for 14 is the worst performance we've seen so far this year, in my estimation.
I feel like we're going to have to take Kobe and Josh Smith out of these, or else they're just going to keep racking them up.
No.
You're keeping tally,
Josh Smith
right?
has none. We have Lance Thomas week one, Kyrie Irving week two.
Kyrie, so it looks like
Kobe Bryant, I think, is our International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award winner, and I think he earned it.
He did.
You're going to be getting a call from Stack.
That's pretty good.
You need to pass, Kobe. To me, Jerry Stackhouse.
All right, so now we're going to do, we didn't do it last week, but this is a fun thing. This is a little trivia segment that we call the Game of Scones.
We really are milking this breakfast thing.
Yeah, and so I think Chuck is going to take over on this one. He's prepared a little thing for me and John to play.
Okay. So basically, if you've paid attention to the internet lately, Jaden Smith is a thing, who is Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith's son. He's 16 years old. He's been in a few movies.
Scientologist.
I will say.
We don't know that. I'm pretty sure
he's a Scientologist.
Okay, he probably is.
I will say, when we were trying to.
We don't have lawyers. Why are you even saying that name on this podcast? They're going to come after us.
Chuck, I have a lawyer.
When we were trying to name Chase Buddy Budinger Parrish, we went through a lot of names, and some names were like, oh, that's similar to our names, like the parents' names.
Right.
We don't want to be do like a Jaden and Willow. And that's what my wife said. And to that, I said, huh? Like I knew that Jaden and Willow were the offspring of Jada and Will Smith,
right? But you didn't ever
did not ever put it together that those names were related to their parents.
No. I recently had that
because I guess I just use the internet. I never say it out loud. Never think about it. Never. And so And she's like, "Wait, are you serious? You didn't know it was like their same name?" And I'm like, "No, I didn't."
You need to watch some interviews with these cats.
So I'm sorry.
So Jaden Smith is a thing, and this is our first NBA season without the gorgeous mind of Meta World Peace, a.k.a. Ron Artest, a.k.a. Panda's friend.
I miss him.
Big Red Panda.
And in order to properly mourn and, tying this all in with the Malice in the Palace, I mean, the fire starter there, we need to... I think bring him back into the fold, and what I decided to do was...
In case you've been living under a rock, Jaden Smith is a lunatic.
He's a lunatic. He's a crazy...
And he's been giving media interviews lately.
Well, he's 16 years old, and he thinks he knows things, so that's
16
very
years old, but somehow
dangerous.
Getting this past his PR people.
Right. So, what's
the name of the game?
The name of the game is Who Said It?
Holy smokes!
So, Who Said It, Ron Artest, or Jaden Smith?
Or is it Meta World?
Let's do Meta World. Well, actually, he's technically Panda's friend now.
Panda's friend.
That he's
right,
playing
so Panda's friend
in China.
Or Jaden Smith.
It's either Panda friend or Jaden Smith.
Can I guess Willow Smith?
No, it's either Jaden or Panda's friend.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Ron Artest, Meta World piece.
Okay,
here we go.
Okay. All
right. I'll go first.
John goes first.
All right.
How can mirrors be real if our eyes aren't real?
Ron Artest.
Wrong. That is Jaden Smith.
Son of a, are you kidding me?
Nope.
How can anyone be that stupid besides Ron Artest?
Well, who knows?
Is that... Oh, my Lord. I felt confident.
All right, lay one on me.
I'm an alien. I heard about those reports. There's always conspiracies. I'm an alien. I wasn't there.
That's Jane Smith.
Meta World Peace.
Son of a... All right. Is this for the win? Or are we
zero gonna... to zero. No, let's do a few more. Let's do five. Can we do five?
I don't know if we can do
okay.
five.
Let's do five.
That is an odd
okay,
number.
Okay, here we go. Here we go.
All right.
I don't really care about being physical. Just be intelligent.
This is impossible.
There's so much different context it could be.
Somebody's going to have to tell me when I have to, because I'm going to ruminate as long as possible.
You got 3, 2, 1.
Ron Artest.
It is. Oh, no! World Peace.
Ron. Thank you, Ron.
Oh, Ron. That's it. Okay. All right. Let's do, this will be if I can tie. If I tie, we'll do one more. If
a bookstore never runs out of a certain book,
Jane Smith.
Does that mean that no one reads it or everyone reads it?
Meta World Peace through Twitter.
Jaden Smith.
Oh. Yeah.
So John Burr is the winner of our Game of Scones.
I
am the champions. I am the champions. I'd like to thank Ron Artest, Meta World Peace, and Panda's Friend.
Great game. I like that game.
That was a good game. That was probably our best Game of Scones so far.
Yeah, since we cut the other one out, I think that...
I feel like I'm totally clear now after winning that game.
Oh, it's very it's a big good. Emotional rush. I can understand it.
The Thetans. Xenu's got nothing on me.
All right. Unless anyone has anything else they want to add, we're going to do our par fadeaway, which is our parting thoughts. Par fadeaway, what are things you're looking forward to this week or anything else on your mind? I've got one. I've been enjoying watching the Bulls play basketball, and I look forward to keep watching them play. I think it's been Jimmy Butler has been a revelation. He's clearly the most improved player. If they had to give out the award right now, he is literally an all-star. He's playing great. I do take some umbrage with a thing I heard. Maybe I can't remember if it's tweeted or reported somewhere. Like Pau Gasol and Derrick Rose were out, and I think the report was like, the Bulls win without two of their best three players. And I'm like, in what planet is Derrick Rose one of the best three players on the Bulls? Joakim Noah, Taj Gibson, Jimmy Butler, like Pau Gasol are all,
he's still in the top three.
Mike Dunleavy Jr.
There's no way.
Going off for 30 the other night.
If you had to pick between... You have to have Jimmy Butler play. If Jimmy Butler doesn't play and Derrick Rose plays, they're way worse.
Right.
Like, staggeringly worse.
Yeah.
You can't really take out... It is interesting, of those three big men, of Taj, Powell, and Joakim, how one of them keeps seeming to being kind of banged up and sits out.
Yeah.
Which is a fantastic regular season play, because the other night against the Clippers where they won... you had just Taj and Joakim playing to both about 40 minutes and just annihilating the defensively not strong Clippers.
Retarded could be the word.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not
well,
like mentally, but like they have a retarded.
No, I'll still probably bleep that out.
Okay.
But,
damn it.
PC and everything.
Well, good gravy.
But yeah, with
Big Brother over
flame
here.
Flame retardant is a word.
With Blake Griffin and... Yeah, DeAndre Jordan could not hang with the all-around just goodness and effort of Taj and Joakim. Also, Nikola Mirotic got himself out of his little rookie funk by going up against one Spencer Hawes.
That's how you do it, baby.
Could not slow him down.
Yeah, we'll get you on Sean Hannity's podcast there, Spence. So I have a couple things. One thing is what gave me hope. Last week
for the world or what do you say?
No, for basketball.
For the Heat.
For basketball. The game of the week, the fan chosen game of the week on TNT was Kings Pelicans.
Kings Pelicans,
which made me happy that
Come
people
on.
Wanted
what an
to,
amazing matchup.
That's a great matchup.
It was
two,
a great game too.
NBA has the best fans.
Yeah, man, they really do. Those guys said, "Hey, let's see two of the best big men of the past 10 years, you know, young big men,
yeah,
to come in the league, and let's watch them play each other." And it was a great game.
Boogie so outperformed.
It also helps when the large media markets of like LA and New York and their teams are
terrible.
The Lakers and Knicks are so bad.
Yeah, big div.
Boogie
big
outperformed deals on the stat sheet, but the Pelicans, who I think are the lesser team, got the win. So I have to say, advantage Brow.
Yeah, Brow is a god. Is a god of
leading the league in win shares.
My last thing.
His win shares are so staggering. Much more than anyone else.
LeBronish.
My last thing was another thing that already happened. It's not going forward, but Markieff Morris started talking crap about KC Peasy.
Morris twins are hard.
They are from the streets. And my favorite part of all this was Stan Van Gundy's response to Markieff Morris.
Sticking up for his boy.
Yeah, who was getting Kentavious Caldwell-Pope a little bit of lip, Markieff was. So this is what Stan Van Gundy said. And
should we get the do we have the quote? The quote.
I have the quote.
Oh, no, you have Markieff's quote?
Yeah. I don't have Markieff's quote.
Markieff's quote was
no heart.
He just said, when I saw Caldwell-Pope had the ball, that guy has no harp. I knew he'd miss.
No right. harp either.
So basically, he challenged a player's manhood, and Stan Van Gundy had a little bit of that, you know, swag coming through. I love Stan Van Gundy, one of the coolest people on the planet, I think.
Listen. Killer behind the back dribble.
He is. He's. But this is what he said about Markieff Morris. Quote, I'm not quite sure, maybe he knows, but I'm not quite sure what Markieff Morris has accomplished in the league that gets him to the point of mouthing off. It seems to me you should at least participate in a playoff game before you do.
Allow me a rebuttal.
Burn. What?
But Markieff Morris, reigning Sixth Man of the Year award winner, narrowly missed the playoffs, dropped 30 on the ass.
He had a good
what
game.
What are you talking about, Stan Van?
Is that the game that he had 30?
I think he dropped it the game before. But
yeah, he was like 10 for 14 or something with 30.
Probably
going
to lead the Suns in scoring.
Shut up, Stan. But
he was thinking of Marcus Morris.
Maybe, but it's hard to get those. Those two guys are really hard to tell apart. Hey, I don't know if you know that.
I've worked out a mnemonic device for myself.
Right.
But it only works if we're in their jerseys. Mm-hmm. Markieff is 11, and I think of that the one in the 11 or either as an I for Markieff.
Uh-huh.
So and Marcus is 15, but I don't worry about that. Those, looking at those double ones, I'm like, one of those is an I. Oh, that's Markieff.
Well, I don't know if that works because I think his name is spelled M-A-R.
You're going to have to bleep that out. You know that, right?
I think I just got one by. I'm going to go a little meta with my par fade away from now on. This is who you should fade in the coming week in the realm of gambling. Fade the Charlotte Hornets. They don't look that good. They have the Frisky Magic next, hopefully, or the day you're downloading this, if Keith gets it up Friday morning. Then they have the Heat, who, if Wade is playing, is very, very frisky. Then they have the Clippers, who are a better team despite their folly. And then, they got the likes of Blazers and Golden State next. So fade. Par fade.
Dreaded West Coast road trip.
Par fade those Hornets.
At least one of our 15 listeners is a Hornets fan, and he was sad that we unanimously went under on the Hornets.
Sorry, buddy.
But sorry, we call them like we see them. They're now 4-8. Two of their wins were kind of miracles.
And they're making players like Al Jefferson look poor.
Yeah.
It's hard.
This has not been a good year for Al so far. Al is struggling.
So that was our par fadeaway, our final wrap-up thoughts. So thanks for listening.
No Grizzlies epilogue this week.
The first place Grizzlies?
We got it. It's a big week.
We're going to do a Grizzlies epilogue.
Yeah.
But we'll bid adieu to the non-Grizzlies
fans. Grizzlies fans. Check us out on Twitter. I think we're up over at least 50 followers.
Oh, that's killing huge. It.
So we're at Fast Break Break. Twitter handle at Fast Break Break. You can ask a question. You can tell us where we're wrong. Point out the information that we might have misrepresented.
And remember, if you're Quincy Pondexter, Keith runs that Twitter account.
We don't touch it.
Keep favoriting my tweets.
That the password
I got
is...
in a pretty good Twitter exchange about the old Quincy Pondexter. We'll save that for the epilogue. So thanks for listening.
And remember, breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
All right, and we're back with the Grizzlies epilogue. It was an event-loaded week for the Grizzlies. They went 3-1. They most recently lost to the Raptors in a very exciting game where five of their guys were out with a vomiting bug. So they had to call up a couple of people. it wouldn't normally play.
I think Tony Allen made his world famous goulash. I thought it made everyone ill.
Is that Memphis Ebola?
It's possible. So the takeaway of that loss is you don't want to have moral victories, but it would definitely, you couldn't call it discouraging. They were in the game until the very end.
What I took away from that loss was I don't want to see John Lewis ever again. Ever again. Give me my Jarnell Stokes. Give me JJ.
Jarnell Stokes, who has an impressive lack of vertical.
Hamburger hops.
Jordan Adams threw him a perfect alley-oop that he just was like, oh, I can't dunk this. This is crazy. And just caught it and then, you know, got fouled. But Jarnell Stokes, man, he is a hard rebounder and he just shoves people out of the way. And he has a...
Jarnell Stokes was the best rebounder in college basketball last year by almost any metric.
I will always defer to any mention of college with like, I assume you're right. I have nothing to refute that. He had a great play where a ball was coming right to Tyler Hansbrough, and Jarnell just left his feet and dove to the ground and ripped the ball away from him and looked like he might have broken Tyler Hansbrough's shoulder or something as he hit the ground. But I like that doggedness and that toughness, and man, it was good to see.
As my, I'm the resident college basketball sexpert round shares.
Yes.
And to an nth degree, Tennessee is my favorite team. So I'm very familiar with Jarnell Stokes. Jarnell Stokes is a great player. He has trouble hitting free throws in the clutch, but that's really the only thing I can point to him. He was very, very transcendent Tennessee basketball player. So I was thrilled when the Grizz took him. I don't want to see Lure anymore. I don't want to see Coupon anymore. I like the fact that we can bring Jordan Adams off and have another Tony Allen-ish like kind of agitator coming off the floor so we don't lose that edge when Tony comes off. So I think this draft might have worked.
I think it's good. You never expect a second rounder to really contribute, and you don't even expect normally rookies to contribute on a good team. But I think when the Grizzlies made the decision to move on with, you know, our personal favorites, James Johnson, and they got rid of Ed Davis, and they chose like, all right, we're gonna by, I guess, default, promote Quincy Pondexter and John Lewis. So as a fan, you're like, well, those guys aren't really worthy in my mind of being like the seventh or eighth guys on a good team, on a team that we think can compete, you know, Western Conference Finals, you know, if everything falls right, Grizzlies fans hope that they can make the NBA Finals. So in that scenario, I would rather see, when I know what I have with Quincy Pondexter, there are no questions left with Quincy Pondexter. There are no questions left with John Lure. Like, they're both, I think they're both like 26 or 25 in there. I know what they are, and I've seen it, and it's like, okay, I'm fine with them being at 10th and 11th on the bench. I would rather be like, oh, Jordan Adams. I mean, because as of today, Jordan Adams is overwhelmed by like the guys he has to guard.
He's a smallish player.
He's small. He's going to be a two guard. There was a play where like DeRozan just had him posted up. And honestly, that was Quincy's fault for not coming. And you got to switch that back. Like, right, he has no help. But I will say, as far as Quincy Pondexter had his breakout half against the Rockets in what was the most joyous Grizzlies watching experience.
He still went 5 for 14.
He had his regression quarter. The fourth quarter was 0 for 7 with, I think, 3 air balls. I mean, he was hard. I mean, it's a blowout. When I play basketball, you know, at the Y against people who are bad, I can't ever hit when we're winning by a lot either.
Here's the thing Quincy does so poorly is he is just purely a spot-up shooter. He cannot get to the line. And what Quincy relies on is athleticism. If you're an athletic guy who can't get to the line, what good are you?
I honestly don't need him that. I feel like last year he struggled so much because he tried to be a creator and tried to get at the line. I just want him to catch the threes in the corner and hit them.
Right.
Last night in the Raptors game, he was so lost on offense. His shots were terrible. He made a good cut where Marc Gasol hit him for a dunk. However, the one thing I did enjoy, because he was pressed into service, he only got 24 minutes, but in the second half of that game, that was some of the best one-on-one defense I've ever seen from him. He's saying he was amazing.
Yeah.
But I'm saying he was actually quite effective. But I think you and I both agree that we'd rather see these rookies get a run to see if there's any chance that by the end of the year, they end up being better than what Quincy and John Lewis are right now. Last year, Nick Calathes, they put him in the fire, and he was bad. early in the year.
And it got better.
When the first game I went to last year, when I commuted from Nashville to Memphis to go to a game, it was a Suns game. And in the section I was sitting in when Kolaitis came in, there were people just booing him for going on the court, which I respect. If you've seen that player play for like 3 years,
right?
I might have, but honestly, I never boo a guy when he comes in. I'm more like, he's trying hard. I want the coach to maybe not play him.
Plus, he looks like Costa Kufis Babushka doll, like the guy inside Costa Kufis.
It's true. But anyway, they stuck with Kolaitis last year. By the end of the year,
He was good.
And there was games Conley missed and Kolaitis was crucial. So again, that's my thing of like, yeah, you don't normally put rookies in on a really good team, but I would still like to see on this team, see if those guys can be any good.
It's impossible for me to get behind Pondexter when he has games like his best game of the year, 30 minutes against the Rockets, 5 for 14, 3 for 8 from 3, 0 free throw attempts, putting up decent stats elsewhere, but that was a blowout. I mean,
it was a blowout.
Killing the Rockets.
He did, again, I'll be in the awkward position of defending Coupon. Mm-hmm. In that first half, he was part of the reason it got blown out because Tony went down with foul trouble and he stepped up and he was an energy. He was a spark plug. He hit he hit three threes in the first half. I guess we always fall back to, we know what he is.
Yeah, he just frustrates the hell out of me because I like the other guys on the roster more.
And it's also,
especially with Vince getting healthy. Like, I really hope that Vince becoming totally healthy results in Coupon playing 10 minutes a game.
Vince is still bad.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, he just doesn't have it going on at all.
Yeah.
And, he's 37, 38. He may never have it going on.
It's a scary proposition.
But it was a low-risk contract.
It was low-risk if in a vacuum, it's kind of low-risk when you consider that they decided they take him over Mike Miller. It's a higher risk, even though Mike Miller is...
I don't think they took him over Mike Miller.
Got that negative PER.
I think Mike Miller chose the Cavs.
No.
Really?
No. What happened was, my understanding is what happened was the Grizzlies were pursuing Vince Carter. They were talking with Mike Miller, and Mike Miller was going to come back for the similar money. And then it came down to the thing where the Grizzlies realized they could get Vince Carter, and they told Mike Miller.
Then I officially hate every offseason move the Grizzlies make. Because watching James Johnson be exactly the same player he was for us, which was a great surge off the bench and instant offense.
Now that James Johnson's in a bigger market, although he's got that twisted ankle, which is sad that he missed the Grizzlies rematch or the Grizzlies game, the revenge game.
It was good for us.
Well, it was good for us, but it still didn't work out.
That's the type of player we hate facing.
Now that James Johnson is in a bigger market,
right?
You can Google James Johnson and there's all these gushing articles about like, oh, we took a risk on James Johnson. He's everything we hoped. And it's like, oh, he's so good.
Because I've listened to The Starters, that other podcast, for so long.
Yeah.
I've actually been aware of James Johnson for some time. So I was excited when we got him.
Right.
And, I understand somewhat why the Grizz let him go. But for basketball reasons, it makes no sense.
I still really struggle with the recurring thing I see on Twitter from multiple of the Grizzlies reporters is how it was such a thorn or just like such a burr under the saddle or something of there was season ticket holders for the Grizzlies who were set behind the Grizzlies bench who yelled at Jaeger to play James Johnson. And this is like drunk dudes, bros yelling.
It was you and Jamie Holland.
It was. But I can't imagine that a basketball decision would be made on
that. We had James Johnson neck tattoo night, damn it.
I know, and he was amazing that night.
Yeah.
That was his off-the-glass dunk against the Clippers in a comfortable win.
He was my third favorite Grizzlies player. This is a nightmare.
So I'm still hopeful. Also, I don't believe that this roster is going to stay the same.
I don't either.
3 years ago, I felt like I was the crier in the wilderness just yelling about how awful Darrell Arthur was.
Right.
And people were saying, no, he's good. He had a good playoff run. I'm like, he's horrible for us. Like, he can't. Oh, he's horrible. And then they traded him. And then I got really worked up about how much Jared Bayless, after his honeymoon period, which he's having a honeymoon period on the Bucks, yes. And it might just be that Jared Bayless has a honeymoon period.
Jared Bayless gets hot. He's an Arizona Wildcat.
So I was riding Jared Bayless for a while, and a lot of people were like, no, he's good. He's lit up some fourth quarters. He's won some games. I'm like, he's a bad basketball player. Like, he doesn't get it. Like,
and maybe this is our coupon.
And then they traded Jared Bayless. So now I've been riding the coupon. And if history has served me, at least the guys in the front office, they seem to trade the guys I don't like. So I'm hopeful. Again,
they also don't re-sign the guys you don't like.
They also, I knew Ed Davis was leaving. That Ed Davis leaving for the minimum salary was the shock. James Johnson leaving for salary was real upsetting.
Quality basketball player who is a bad fit on this team. We are a big men with soft hands team, and Ed is not that. Because we have rim protectors, but we're not like shot swatting, you know. We don't play that way. That's not the way the Grizzlies do it. The Grizzlies play a game where the big men kind of have to be facilitators as well as playmakers, or as well as scorers. And Ed just didn't have that in him. Because Kostakouvas, I mean, I know he's had a terrible start, but he's coming around.
He's been real hot recently.
That guy knows how to play basketball.
Yeah.
I love it when he will line up on an inbounds play out of bounds to create the correct spacing for a play.
No, and that's the thing that when you and I always talk just about the Grizzlies on our own, just kind of off air, we always talk about, we think the Grizzlies have so many guys who have such a high basketball IQ.
Right.
And like John Lure actually has in my estimation, has a high basketball IQ.
He just doesn't have the skill.
But he's just lacking in being able to, you know, to get those defensive rebounds even when he has the right position.
Right.
And his shot is, you know, has been iffy.
And a year ago, it was different. The last couple of years, he's been capable of putting up double-doubles and the like, and it just seems to be gone. Maybe it can round back into shape.
In a year ago, I still always wanted Ed Davis to play every one of John Lure's minutes.
That is true.
I still prefer, even if Ed Davis drops a lot of passes and misses some chippies and his free throw percentage went way down, he affects a game when he's a backup.
One of the most underrated aspects of basketball is rim protection, and it doesn't always have to mean swats.
Right.
It's just the way you play the game, and John Lure as a power forward has none of that.
Watch Cavs games with a front court of Joe Harris, Kevin Love, and LeBron even. They had those front court, and they were getting scored on. But anyway, all right, so we've gone a little long on the Grizzlies epilogue. The excitement for the Grizzlies is they've got some hard games coming up. So
except for the Celtics.
Yeah, or the Celtics and Lakers, but sandwiched around that, some of the next few games.
Clippers, who we own. Blazers,
Clippers,
who we own.
Blazers, Kings, Rockets, Spurs, Heat, Mavs. I mean, we're going to start playing all the good West teams. So it'll be exciting to see where the team is.
I predict.
Oh, and our boy Calathes is coming back.
What's happening?
I'm saying it's 13 games. We're almost up.
Oh,
so
no.
It'll be fun to see how they work in Calathes, who I'm a fan of, big fan of.
Absolutely. I mean, the dude wasn't cheating. He's just bald.
Sad.
Rogaine makes you weird.
Yeah. All right. So thanks for listening. That's the Grizzlies epilogue. Yep.
Grit, grind.
Go Grizz. See y'all.